A couple of different announcements that are in the bulletin. The first is today at 2:30, we're having an organ concert. Dr. Humlong is playing a concert for us, and it is something that you do not want to miss at all, I promise you. So 2:30 today here in the sanctuary, we're looking forward to that. If you turn under the back part of the bulletin insert, you'll find that we are having a lunch and learn next Sunday after church. You need to register for it today if you're interested in going. RSVP information is at the bottom of that page if you're interested. It's a lunch and learn around the Neighbors in Immigration Clinic here in Lexington. And it's for those of you who are interested in helping immigrants into our community smoothly go through the legal process of getting your green card, your permanent citizenship, or your permanent resident card, and then your citizenship, and kind of navigating all of those pathways. So it's an informational meeting about, if you'd like to help with that, how can you help? And we're really, really glad to be hosting that. So thanks so much, Loretta. The other thing that I wanted to share with you, we're receiving some new members into the church at the end of the service today, the Combs family. I'm excited about that, you guys. And we have a new member tree out in the narthex, right out here. And all of those 16 folks that joined the church a couple of weeks ago, their pictures are on that tree. So I want to invite you, if you haven't had a chance to put names and faces together, their pictures out there, so you can kind of start doing that. And the Combs, I'll get your picture afterwards. You can't escape me. So. But I want to invite you to stand and greet one another with the peace of Christ. Mic's still on. I invite you to join me now as we join together in prayer. Almighty God, that the joy of the body of Christ fills this place. For you are our hope, you are the source of our deep and rich faith, and we sense the love of God in our hearts here. And so Jesus, as we worship you today, as we come to your table and you remind us that you are a host of this great meal that we celebrate, a meal where we receive your grace, your power to strengthen us in our lives as disciples. We also pray for our brothers and sisters throughout the world, and we bless them in your name. Lord, in this time, unite our hearts together with all of the church, so that we might serve you and love like you in the world. And we pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
invite you to stand as you are able for our call to worship. Around the world, people gather to break bread and pour wine.
We gather with them in heart and mind.
Around the world, the broken body is made whole.
As part of that body, we join in its unity.
Around the world, the banquet of God is prepared for the table.
We who share in the banquet come eagerly to be fed.
Let us worship together. Let us share God's bounty. Imagine Christians around the world coming to the table and receiving God's grace. Let us all imagine Christians around the world uniting in the Apostles' Creed. Let us speak together. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy
Good morning, friends. I brought something with me today. I was a little hungry. I brought a snack. I was thinking, let's see, Rowan, would you like a snack? No? Who would like a snack? Let's see, Maddie, you can have one. Let's see, and Lena. But I think that's it for today, okay? I'm gonna close that up. Then you guys will be okay, right? How does it make you feel watching Maddie and Lena eat a snack when the rest of you are left out? How do you feel? A little bit sad, maybe a little bit hungry. Do you think that it's fair that I just picked two people to have the snack? What would be the more fair, you think? If everybody had it, right? Okay, well, that's important. That's what we're talking about today in the Bible. We're talking about when people came together to celebrate the Lord's Supper, which is going to happen here today. And the Lord's Supper is where we remember Jesus, right? We remember his body and his blood. And sometimes in the Bible, in this story, people were eating before everybody was there. And some people had a lot of food, some people had none. And that is not how Jesus wanted it to be, because the Lord's Supper is about remembering Jesus. And Jesus was very kind and welcoming, and everybody was always included. And that's what Jesus wants for us to do. As we come together, we should always show hospitality. Has anybody ever heard of the word hospitality? That's a big word, isn't it? Hospitality means we welcome everybody, we share with everybody, and we make sure that nobody feels left out. That's important, isn't it? With our friends, at school, in our neighborhoods. Okay, so what I'm trying to say here is I have enough snacks for everybody, okay? I'm not going to give them to you right now because, I don't know, Pastor John and Pastor Joan may not like all the crumbs all over the carpet, but I will give them to you as we leave today, okay? We do have enough to share with everybody to make sure that nobody's left out from our snack, okay? And that's what God would want, don't you think? Everyone would be welcomed, everybody's included, and everybody is loved, just like Jesus did. So my question for you is, how do you think you can show hospitality to other people? I'm going to show you hospitality today by giving you a cracker. How could you show hospitality to other people? What do you think? If you had a bunch of toys. You could let everybody play with your toys? Yeah, okay, that's one way to show hospitality. Anything else? Playing a game outside. Yeah. Anybody that wanted to play, you could say, would you like to play this game? One more example. Anybody else have a way we could show hospitality? Sharing. Sharing. What about if a new friend came to church that you've never seen before? How could you show hospitality? By including them. Maybe by sitting next to them, asking them their name. Yeah, helping them to show them around the church. That's exactly right. I hope that we can all show hospitality to each other, not just at church, but in school, with our families, and in our neighborhoods. Let's say a prayer together. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving everyone and making room at your table for all of us. God, I pray that you would help us to be kind and welcoming, just like you. Pray that you would help us to include others, to share with others, and to remember that, God, everyone is special in your sight. We pray all this in your holy Son's name. Amen.
As we gather for the celebration of the Lord's table, we are invited by the Lord to come and join together. And yet, we so often resist that call for shame or fear or guilt. And so let us take off that burden, remembering that this is a meal of victory over sin and death, as we go in confession together. Eternal God, of all people and places,
we confess to you our lack of oneness with our sisters and brothers as we begin this celebration of unity in Christ. We have closed our ears to voices of pain and of wisdom when they speak in accents other than our own. We have lacked the vision to see the people living in places we have formed
assured. The good news in Christ is that God is more willing to forgive our sins than we are to acknowledge them. The God of peace be with you all, keeping you in unity with Christ's people everywhere. Glory to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Lord, this week I have been reflecting on a consistent theme in your scripture, that of remembrance. As you led your people out of Egypt, you reminded them of your relationship with their forefathers, identifying yourself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You chose to define yourself in relationship to the past. Even as you gave the law, you consistently reminded the Hebrews you had liberated of their past, that they were once slaves in Egypt. You said, "Remember, care for the foreigner among you, for you were once a foreigner in Egypt. Remember, keep the Sabbath, for you were once a slave with no hope for rest. Remember who delivered you, the one abounding in mercy and steadfast love. But oh, how easily we forget, and we raise golden calves, attempting to give you form and shape and define you apart from your reality. We forget what you've done for us, and then we forget who you are, and we neglect the truth that's been reflected in history, the ways that you've chosen to define yourself to us, and we give way to convenient symbols of status rather than embrace the reality of who you are by remembering what you have done. As we live into the reality of this World Communion Sunday, may we remember. After all, this is what you ask of us in the sacrament of communion, that we remember you. And not you, Lord, in some generality, but you on the night which you were betrayed. To lean in and remember the realities of your death in the broken bread that is your body, and your shed blood that is the cup. And still, how easily we forget, Lord. We lose sight of your cross, and we begin to reflect you into our own image, forming you into a symbol of power or strength or personal advancement or whatever we see as important or necessary, rather than ourselves being formed in relation to the cross. May we not forget, Lord. Strengthen our minds, deepen our spirits to remember. Let us remember our slavery, that of sin and death. Let us remember the shape of our liberation, that is the cross. Let us remember you rather than settling for cheap imitations. Let us not forget the poor, the marginalized, the sick, the struggling, and the addicted, all of whom you welcome to your table. And may we also remember that we are a part of a large body of believers, that our problems are true, and that you are here to receive them and comfort them. But let us not be myopic in our focus. Let us remember that we are a part of a global, ecumenical, diverse, in every imaginable way, body. And in an act of unity with all of those around the world who preach and live the gospel of the crucified one, we pray as you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I would now like to invite our ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings.
Told me that if somehow I'm not changed having been to worship, then I haven't truly worshiped. Our anthem this morning talks about how we become the grace that is shared to us through the Eucharist. I invite you to look in your bulletins for that text.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we are overwhelmed by the wonder of your love and grace and mercy this morning. And Lord, as we come to your table, we desire to give to you the completeness and wholeness of our lives, our treasures, our heart, our gifts. Lord, bless us and bless them so that we might serve you in all of the world, joining with so many other Christians as we bring your kingdom into this world and show everyone a glimpse of who you are. This we pray in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the New Living Translation of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. But in the following instructions, I cannot praise you, for it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are divisions among you when you meet as a church, and to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be divisions among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. For some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. So anyone who eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite you to use your imagination a little bit with me this morning. And I want to take you back to Lake Wobegon. Now, I know that I probably dated myself and some of us here a little bit with that, but there is a great place named Wobegon where I believe the saying goes, all of the women are strong and the children are all above average. I think that's right. Now, in Lake Wobegon, in our imagination this morning, there is a church there, and they love, as we do, to have potlucks. Now, this particular Sunday that they have a potluck is right after the worship service, and they file out of the sanctuary into the fellowship hall to all line up. But see, there's something different about this particular church, though, and I'm going to kind of share with you about those differences. Very different than the way that we do things here at Southern Hills, by the way. You see, in this church, there are VIPs. There's the select few that they always bring the nicest entrees and side dishes. I mean, really nice stuff like pate and the caviar and the all of this kind of stuff, to a potluck. Kind of crazy, but they do. And so the way that the church wants to honor them is, well, you get to go first. And then, of course, there's all of the real influential people of Lake Wobegon that go to this church as well. And they get to go first, too. Now, here's the thing. They go through the line. They fill up on all the fried chicken and all of the extra stuff that's going on there, you know, all of the good stuff, right? Corn pudding and broccoli casserole and all the rolls. And there's, of course, the best part, which is the chocolate pie, with all of the meringue on the top. They get all of it. In fact, their paper plates are just so full that it's kind of sagging over. And they sit down and they start having a feast. Now, the rules continue on, though, because the rest of the church, we're all just sitting here waiting. There's a 1 hour period of time where we have to wait while they have their moment together. And so they eat and they go back for seconds and they go back for thirds. And finally, the hour has passed. They've drunk way too much tea and they're happy. And so then all of the rest of us get to go. Now, right about that time, some of the members of that church, they work really odd shifts. You know, like a lot of times people work in healthcare and they work really strange shifts, like this nurse here or physician. Or a physician's assistant. They're always, I remember when I worked in healthcare, I worked on, almost it seems like for a period of 3 years, I worked every Christmas day. And it was, I would go in and I would get them out of the bed on Christmas Day and I said, it's time for your therapy. And they looked at me like, are you crazy, man? It's Christmas. But they do. I had a lady that in Paintsville, she owned a restaurant and she worked 7 days a week. She worked from 6 a.m. until 9 p.m. at night every day. And she never had off. And she would always come into church late and she would promptly just fall asleep. And I always thought to myself, you know, that is probably some of the most precious holy time that she has all week. So those folks, they come in too, and they're at the end of the line, of course. And all of the folks we've been waiting, we get to the table where we're scooping out all of the stuff, and not much is left, by the way, and it's all gone cold by now, right? There's a little bit of that corn pudding left and a little bit of the rolls, although they're kind of picked over a little bit. It kind of reminds me a little bit of one of my friends who's a pastor as well. In his very first church, he pastored a small church way out in the country. And of course, like a lot of pastors do, you know, he goes and visits around. And he went and visited this family once. And this family, they had all kinds of pets, of the kind that you don't want. Some of them are about that long and black and red, and some of them were a little bit longer and had tails and they were furry. And they would crawl all over his feet and everything, and he was a little bleh. So this family, they brought this green cake in with icing on the top one time, and they cut off a piece for him. And he was trying to avoid it, but he couldn't. They handed it to him, and they said, here, we made this especially for you. And so he carried that cake around the whole time, saying, would you look at this beautiful cake that the family made? He never ate it. He was just too proud of it to eat it. But there's that cake that's left. And then, of course, there's also the Jell-O mold that Aunt Bethany from National Lampoon's Christmas. It's the special one, right? With the cat food kibble in it and barbecue chips all the way around. And we all know that it has cat food kibble in it and nobody touches it at all. And that's what's left too for all of the rest of us non-VIP people. Wouldn't that, it's delicious looking, isn't it? And so we take our little slice of the green cake and the green Jell-O mold and we sit down and we don't eat them, either one of them. But we're really thankful that we're there, right? No, we're hungry. We're hungry. It's not fair. It's not right. It's very much like what Hannah was talking about. And the kids were, you should have seen the kids' faces. They were like, what? Are you kidding me? It's very much like that. And this is why Paul was so, so fired up in his letter to the Corinthians. Because this is what was going on in this church family. You see, during that time, what would happen is you would have some, in this Greco-Roman world that they lived in, you'd have these wealthy people that would often put on dinners. They would host them in their homes. And during this time in that early church, they would often combine these big church dinners with Holy Communion. It would be part of the whole the whole event, the whole worship service, the whole gathering together. And of course, all of the wealthy folks, they got to go first, and here's why. Your farmers, your day laborers, your folks that were working kind of the blue-collar jobs, as we call it now, they would work much longer hours than the wealthy would. And so they'd be coming in much later in the day. And by the time that they got there to worship, like our nurse, all that's left is the green jello mold. And Paul was like, you know, he even chides him a bit. He really gives it to him. What? What are you doing? He's fired up because it does not represent who we are as the church. Why are some of you all so full in your belly and you've drunk so much that you're drunk while others are coming in late? They're hungry, they're tired, they just want to sit down and commune with the rest of the church, and they have nothing. Paul is angry because they forgot to practice Christian unity. And long have we as the church always believed that the Lord's table is this place of harmony. It's a place of peace. It's a place where we remember as people, as disciples of Jesus, that we're all incorporated, we're all part of the body of Christ. We're unified in that. It's a place of hospitality, not only to one another, but also to others who come in and they're searching for that peace and that hope. And they know, they see the light of Christ here, and they need our hospitality. Here's the thing about it, and Paul really kind of, he alludes to this as well. At the foot of the cross, and remember, we're a cruciform people. We live lives of service and care for others because we imitate Jesus and his life and his sacrifice. As a cruciform people, we remember that all of our status is gone at the foot of the cross, right? There's this great leveling that we talk about in the New Testament, especially. In Christ, there is neither male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. We're all one. We're all one. Now, historically, I think sometimes when we come to this particular passage, we often read this and we kind of ask ourselves, now, what is he talking about? What is eating unworthily about? And sometimes we may think, well, maybe if I don't say all of my prayers just exactly the right way, or if I forget one of those sins that I've committed in the last month or so, and I don't name it, and I don't get it all taken care of, or I don't search my heart thoroughly for every little jot and tittle that's in there, then I'm eating unworthily. And I would say that all of our best scholarship on this particular passage would say, no, that's not it at all. Now, true, we do confess our sins before we come to the table, but eating unworthily is about what I was sharing about from this church in Lake Wobegon, or what was happening in Corinth. They weren't being hospitable to their brothers and sisters, to the least of these, to the widows and the orphans, to all of those who are just in need. There is a scholar that Parker and I really enjoy reading, and one of the things that he says in his commentary, I love this. He says, a community that forgets the cross, and they forget that we are a people of humble service. They forget that we are a people of sacrifice. Well, when they forget that, they forget their identity. They forget who they are. And when they forget their identity, they assuredly, almost 100% of the time, will always forget the weak among us. And that's why Jesus calls us to bear crosses. And why he says to people like Paul, "My grace is far more sufficient for you." It's because in our weakness, we find the ability to serve like Jesus did in his strength and in his power. And so imagine with me, once again, going back to Lake Wobegon, if we go back to this church and they've listened to Paul and they've listened to Paul's concerns that has been addressed there, this is what that potluck would look like. Well, those folks that were late to church, that poor nurse that was coming in, well, they get to go first because they're tired, they're worn. They just want to sit down. And then after that come all of the parents with all of the children, because I understand. You come to church and your child is, or children are going all over the place and you're just trying to keep them behaving, right? And if you can get through that, then great. But you're tired. It's a thing in the morning to get everybody going, right? And what would it be like if some of us would come, or some of them in this church would come alongside those parents and say, "Hey, let me help you get food for your children." And you get them their chicken nuggets and their french fries and you set them down. Wow. Talk about hospitality. What would it be like if everyone in that church has a place, especially the newcomers, the folks that just have been coming for a Sunday or two, and they're celebrated. Laughter fills the room. There's hope. There's joy. There's peace. This is how Paul sees the church celebrating Holy Communion. Worthily. We understand, and the church has understood for a long time, that the church, we understand that Jesus is the host of this meal. He's the host, and we are his guests. He welcomes all. You know, that beautiful passage that we all memorize, John 3:16, you know, Jesus came into the world for all who would cling to him and who loved him, and he would save them. And he extends not only salvation, but his table to all as well. Jesus, as host, wants to be hospitable to all. And that's one of the reasons why on World Communion Sunday especially, but every Sunday, you always hear me say, and you always hear United Methodists say, this is the Lord's table. It's not ours. It's not ours to guard. Everyone here is welcome to receive from the Lord's Supper. It's God's. It's Jesus's. And he's here. He's the host. And he invites every one of you, to come and receive today. I want to invite you to turn in your red hymnal to page 13 and join along in the prayers with me there. Brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and a joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks and praise to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people here on earth and all of the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. And by the baptism of your suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to the church. You delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and you made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. Now, in the night in which you gave yourself up for us, you took bread, gave thanks to you, gave the bread to his disciples, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, after the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave the cup to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink of it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts through Jesus Christ our Lord, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so that we might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet table. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit working in your holy church, all honor and glory and power is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. I want to invite those who will be assisting and serving you all today to come forward, and we will we'll help get the stations ready. I want to invite those of you to just follow the instructions of our ushers. They'll help you. The outside wings go first, and you'll be invited to go out and around the back and down the center. After the outer wings have received the center sections, you will come to the center aisle and receive that way. to make sure that we take care of everybody. Having received the Lord's Supper, I want to invite you to stand and let us sing our closing hymn together. I invite you just to have a seat really quickly before I give the benediction. And I want to invite the Combs family to come forward. Charles and Angela and William are going to be joining the church today. Sadie, you joined the church a number of months ago during confirmation, which is really, really special. But I have to tell you, I love you guys so much. It has been such a joy in my heart to get to know you over the last year or so, and I'm so thankful to God for you all. And I just, as you come for membership here at Southern Hills, I want to ask you, will you support this church with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? We will. And on behalf of the church, I just want to pledge to you all that we will pray for you all, that we will love you, care for you, help you grow as disciples. All of your days, we're here for you. And so will you welcome the Combs family to our church? They're really awesome folks. You really are. And sorry for embarrassing you guys. But, you know. But they're going to come up with me to the entrance over here, and you can greet them if you'd like to and welcome them into the church. So brothers and sisters, full of the Holy Spirit now, we go out into the world. And as the choir sang today, may your lives be this living testimony of the work that we've seen Jesus do in us at his table today. Be the grace and the love and the hope that the world is longing for and searching for. This is my prayer for you all, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.